And the goal, what you want to do on a retreat is try to take time and grow spiritually, okay? I don't want you to concentrate on sort of the incidentals, okay? It has a chance to be a very beautiful retreat for you and many of the other gals. It's of utmost importance that you sort of allow yourself to be open to the grace of the Holy Spirit, okay? Because many times we get caught up in, I don't like this chair, you know, I couldn't sleep great last night or whatever. And I get all that. But that's not a deal breaker. And sometimes we make that such a deal breaker that we can't hear God speaking to us. All right? And so we go to Mass and you don't like this song or you don't like that cantor, whatever. And you're like, you're not present to the moment. You're not present to the moment. And that's the struggle that I'm seeing with folks in the journey, is like they're not allowing the movement of God. So I'd like to say a little prayer. So ladies, how about if we please stand, okay? Let's pray together. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God,
pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
So let's just quietly kind of, the Blessed Sacrament's not here yet, but kind of opening our hearts to the grace of God's love and encountering him face to face. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Andrew,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated, ladies. So, going to try to lead you through the retreat. It's nice to have, maybe you have that booklet or that those folders that we passed out to you, right? And what you want to try to do is make some notes about things that you hear God speaking to you, okay? Because what you're going to hear and what you may remember in 12 minutes from this moment, you may completely forget, right? And so what I want to help you do is realize that it isn't so much what I say to you as what you're sort of opening your heart to. So, you know, I have a question to pose to you, because I want you to sort of begin this personal dialogue with the Lord, okay? And the question is, why am I here? You know, what is God's plan for me? Okay. You may have whatever your vocation is, right? Single, married, divorced, sisters here. But, you know, what is God trying to say? As women, you should already have a sense of where God is in your life, okay? So you can't come down here and say, oh, here I am, Lord. Let's fix this in 24 hours. There should be a pattern in your spiritual life. It could be a pattern of sinfulness that you've never addressed, okay? Again, now the goal is to speak to you for the conversion of your heart, not for you to go away and be like, wow, that was great. Because then I say, well, what are you going to do about it? So the thing is, where has God been speaking to you? 25 years ago, or 10 years ago, You know, what brought you here more than just your girlfriend saying, let's get out of here and go on retreat? And if we like the talks, we'll go, right? So there should be a sense of that in your life. You may be at a time of change physically, job, family, empty nest. Where are you physically, you know, in health? In good health, in bad health? Are there things in your body that you're like, gosh, I'm not content or I'm not happy? Or maybe there's been some changes. No, last year you were at your fight and weight, and this year you're not. And those are all things that I want you to not dismiss. Okay? It's very important. I'm just talking within you right now. I'll get to the people you're surrounded by. Okay? So you have to take that to prayer. Even now, if something is kind of coming up in your heart, write it down. You don't have to write the whole thing. Write a word. Write a phrase. If you're even feeling your heart saying, I don't want to go there, then write, I don't want to go there. Okay? Because it's of absolute importance that it's not what I say, but what you're hearing from the Holy Spirit in directing you in the spiritual growth that God is leading you into. Okay? So just take a moment. I'm going to kind of do this retreat a little different than I normally do, because the Holy Spirit was guiding. And I just want you to kind of give yourself that freedom. If you want to write it down, just words, phrases, like, where am I? If you don't know, call on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me right now? Now, some of you may say, well, this is not what I wanted to think about. A retreat is a call to the conversion of the heart. It's not just listening to CDs like the Lighthouse CD live. Okay, those Catholic CDs. What God wants to say to you maybe on this retreat is just what you wrote down. Let's talk about that. Let's address that. Okay? To be open to that is the beginning of the retreat. To deny that, okay, is to get a superficial band-aid that may be sort of the spiritual placebo. Right? I just I can't wait till Father prays over me. Or I'm glad I'm not home. Or okay. But you're gonna miss the moment of dialogue with the Holy Spirit that He's driving at with you. All right. God is seeking to speak to you about something. Always. It may be a time of great joy spiritually. It may be a time of some tension. God really kind of talking to you, and you're saying, uh-uh. It may be also a time when it's just sort of dry, you know? Where is God? I'm praying. I'm not getting a sense of God. And so there's sort of this frustration or isolation. Sometimes we take that sort of that dry period and we go back and we say, ooh, what am I doing wrong? Be aware of that. Why do you accuse yourself when you seem to sense that God is not speaking to you? Is that a voice from God? Or is that a voice from the evil spirit? Okay? You cannot just keep coming back to, I must be doing something wrong. Well, if I add another decade of the rosary and, you know, read another chapter or, you know, whatever, then it's all going to work out. So what do you hear when you don't, when, like, what is the response of your heart and your mind when things are not working the way you want them to? Where do you go? Accusation? Blame? Blame of self? Blame of another? Blame of the past? If I'd never done that, I wouldn't have this, whatever. Okay? So, let's listen. Just, what are you hearing? Great. Now you've sort of taken these two experiences, right? They're probably connected. Okay? I want you to be aware of that. Because that may be sort of this default mode, blame, sadness, isolation. A retreat, or whatever it may be, joy. A retreat is a chance to invite God into that moment. Okay? Whatever God is speaking to you, it's an opportunity to invite Him in. Lord, come into that moment with me. Okay? You want to invite Him in. You have to go within. I can't go there for you. So if you want this to be a grace-filled retreat, it isn't a passive action. It's an active participation on your part to go spelunking into the caves of your heart and saying, this cave always scares me, and I hate going by that cave, but I know that God is saying, I want you to go there. Grace-filled retreats are when you go there and you realize that God is leading you there. Okay? Is everybody with me? Okay, that's the end of talk one. It demands that courage. Ladies, if you're not going there with me even now, you ain't going to go anywhere with me on the retreat. Okay? You're not going to go anywhere. All right? You have to participate. You have to take notes. You have to be aware of the movement of God. Because that's what God's calling you to even sense, which I just want to call out right now, to even sense resistance at what I'm saying to you now is indicative of your need of healing. Because I've said nothing challenging so far. Wait till I bring the heat. But at any sense of that, you need to bring that to the Holy Spirit right now. Because God is building a wall. God is allowing a wall to be built up between me and speaking to your heart through the grace of the Holy Spirit. any sense of anger, resistance, frustration. Where is he coming from? Because a retreat is rooted in love, not accusation. And I know this isn't what you bought. I thought it was going to be like this. I didn't think I was going to have to work. What God is speaking to you now is what you need to pray about in your journey. That's what's blocking you from receiving the mercy and the love of the Savior. You're not alone in this. You're not alone. But when you're courageous with this, then you don't have to be overwhelmed in life. Because I bet you, whatever brought up, it hits you in the back of the head more than just at this moment. It comes at you repeatedly, over and over again. Right? Okay? And you do the same thing. You walk away from it. You close the closet door on it. You have something to eat about it. Take a nap. And you don't address it. And if you don't address it sooner or later, that voice is going to get louder in your head. Until it drowns out really what the truth is. Because it can actually drown out even when you go to Mass and the priest is preaching the truth and you just kind of fade out because, oh my gosh, I can't believe he's talking about this. You know, say there was abuse and all of a sudden he drops the abuse bomb about healing through that and all of a sudden you're like, okay, I'm already back there and you're not there. So you've sort of blocked out my voice. And the grace of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And it's going to happen. The Holy Spirit is going to bring that up in you. He said, I don't want this in my daughter. Okay? So a retreat is us praying for one another and us having the courage to go within me, within you, to grow. All right? That's the grace of what God is calling you to on the retreat. Now, I admit it can be quite overwhelming. But not to address this is to sort of live in this like false world. Okay? You know how you can tell if you're trying to live a courageous spiritual life? You know, we have those priorities of things to do and the ones that we don't want to do, and then the things we don't mind doing, and the things that we do that make us look like we're busy. You know what I mean? Like the family that has a couple of kids, and like this kid needs to go to soccer, this one needs to go here, this one needs to go to the emergency room. The roof is leaking, and your husband's out cutting the lawn, right? And you're like, what are you doing? Where's your priorities? Well, you always want me to cut the lawn. I got to, and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, where's your priority? You know what I mean? You're like, how's that happen? Because there isn't the spiritual insight and grace and strength to address the issue. And so what do? You just kind of go to the comfort zone. Right? Just do the comfort zone thing. What happens is if we don't do this in the spiritual life, it begins to bleed itself into all the other aspects of our lives. Right? Oh, my kid, I know, I think he's smoking pot. I got to address this issue with him, but I don't want to. All right, who wants to go to the Bowie Bay Sox game tonight? What are you doing, Ma? God put something in your heart. You've talked about it with your spouse. You know you need to address it. What the heck are you waiting for? Bombshell to go off and then address it? You know, we have a phrase which I am completely convinced, obviously, is erroneous. Might as well just sweep it under the carpet, right? You know, I've had more folks leave my office, never coming back, because I told them to stop sweeping it under the carpet. Right? They come in with lumps in their breast, all over the place, and I say, oh, you got major issues. Let's address it. Never come back. They don't want to deal with it. So they walk out because they don't want to address the problem. So what they just go back and, oh, I got a cavity. Better get my cavity fixed. Got a splinter. And I'm like, hey, honey, you're going to die. Those lumps are going to take you down. But I'll have straight teeth, right? See, people who don't have spiritual awareness of what God is saying to them, they sweep stuff under the carpet. And then as they walk through life, they trip in their own house. Because there's blocks everywhere. And the kids are suffering, and there's walls that build up. So I'm trying to help you realize that repeated failure to address issues in your life, within your own life, will prevent you from speaking and addressing issues in other people's lives. No question. Because you will not have the courage or the prudence to address them. And you may address it, but you won't do it with charity, and you'll attack as opposed to build up. So God is saying, let's address this in you. And your response is, well, I don't want to address it. And then you want to address somebody else's issue. Well, that's called the shell game. Believe me, all right, the saints were not procrastinators. They dealt with the issue. If it was an issue then, it'll be an issue now. So the retreat is to guide you to address the problem. That's the goal of a retreat. A successful retreat gives you some of the tools and the insight to listen to God and to realize this needs to be addressed. God will make the time if it involves another person, but if it involves you, now is the time. Now is the time to address it. How can you say, Lord, I love you, and not address the problems with him? That's not a healthy relationship. Okay, Lord, I just want to show you the good part of me. Not the bad part, not the yucky part. And the grace is, the very part that you think is keeping you from Christ is actually not the part that's keeping you from Christ. You're the part that's keeping You are keeping Christ from that part in your life, which is building up the wall between you and Christ. You are. So you can't say, ooh, yuck, I don't like this lump in my breast. Christ already knows about the lump in your breast. But you're in denial that Christ wants to address it, although he's speaking to you, let's address the lump. But in your free will, you cannot. God cannot fix that until you surrender to him. There are no miracles until you surrender and freely address the issue with God. There aren't. And so the lump just spreads. And it becomes, and I'll tell you the truth, ladies, generational woundedness. When mom doesn't address it, it passes down generation after generation after generation. It's scriptural. The sins of the father go three generations. The sins of parents go three generations. So if we're not willing to address these, then don't be upset that your kids are leading lives that are not rooted in God. Just don't be upset. Buy the duct tape and say nothing. You have no foundation to speak. None. And that's what I see in our culture. If you want to grow in holiness, then don't live behind your career. And don't live behind your vanity. And don't live behind your children. That's what happens, right? Well, my kids are doing great. I guess I'm doing great. I guess my marriage is doing great. And I guess everybody's doing great because my kids are doing great. Meanwhile, you've never really addressed, are they really doing great? Just because they got S's on their report card, you think, oh, well, everybody's great. That's not an indication of living a holy life, just because your kids got good grades or scored 6 points yesterday. The indication of the courageous life is the one who's willing to address the problem and then charge into the battlefield. Let me try to draw an analogy in my priesthood. Even if I hit the cardinal's appeal and triple the number, it doesn't mean my parish is growing in holiness. Somebody may have just given money. Hey, here's some money, Father. Shut up. Or if you hit your goal, maybe you'll get transferred. Great. That's what I see. People say, oh, there's more money. Yeah, that's a sign if it's rooted from within the heart of the person. And that's how we begin to identify success. My daughter's pretty. She's a sophomore. She's really pretty. You should see her, Father. Great. And when she's not pretty, then what do you do? When she doesn't feel pretty about herself. You can't do anything about it, Ma. You can't make her feel pretty. Unless you've addressed the issue. Unless you've healed, you won't have the words to speak to them. And they can be as beautiful as Sports Illustrated, but they don't feel it because you've never gone there. Because you've said, oh, you're pretty. So I guess that means I'm good because I'm pretty. Or you got good grades and you're pretty. Well, then I must be good because I got good grades and I'm pretty. What happens when she doesn't get good grades and something happens with her boyfriend and then she doesn't feel pretty? Then what do you say to her? Then what's up? Because that's happened to some of you. You haven't changed from Friday night to Saturday morning, but something happened and you feel not pretty. And so the sadness is, because I don't know what God is speaking to me about addressing my issues, I can't be a gift of the Holy Spirit to this kid or to somebody in my life because I've never dealt with the issue that God wants to bring up in me. God brings it up to heal and to make you transparent, not to block you and let you live in fear. So how are you going to grow? And this is what I see in our culture, right? My house is falling apart inside, but I got a great lawn. Okay, perfect. That's what we tell people. But we don't go into the struggle. We don't go into the battle. That's the call of the Christian, to go into the battle. Not with fancy words, knowing that the Holy Spirit will give you the words that you need to speak. But you won't hear him if you have not presented all of your fears to the Lord. You won't hear him. You know, I can't tell you the number of folks when they say, Father, can I see you for spiritual direction? You know, sure. Let's talk. Tell me a little bit about your life. And they go down like all this stuff. I'm praying the rosary, you know, 12 times a day. I haven't eaten in 6 weeks. Like all these things, you know. I said, tell me a little bit about your past. Well, you know, blah, 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 big explosion, blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, great. Tell me about that big explosion. Oh, it was nothing. Well, you just said it was a huge explosion, and that word is a big explosion in my life, so that's a big explosion. So let's see the shrapnel from that big explosion. Well, there isn't any. Okay, well, tell me about it. And then all of a sudden, as you begin to unpack it, it's like, oh, so you changed after that, huh? Yeah, I really did, but it's not a big deal. And all of a sudden, it's like, I was always there. All of a sudden, you begin to realize it's like there's total denial. How do you heal if you're in denial? You can't. But you got your spiritual books. And so I say, well, that's where we got to start. That's what I'm driving at with you. It isn't just, oh, she had an abortion. Father's not talking about me. I'm talking about the other stuff in your life that you've not addressed. Okay? Maybe you weren't raped. Maybe you weren't abused. Maybe you're not an alcoholic. Okay, fine. Are you transparent before God? Because if not, then you're in a worse situation than the person that was raped, had an abortion, or was abused. Because most of them, when they find a priest that cares, they'll become healed. And so I see a culture of just people saying, well, I'm not that bad. I never had that. And yet they don't hear a word that God says. Why is that? Because it's denial. You know, I don't know where your kids are in the journey, if you got kids, if you don't, you got nieces and nephews. You know, where are they getting closer to God through your life? You know, because as a mother, an aunt, whatever, same thing. Right? It's the same thing. It's just a different way to express it. If you're really an aunt that's really loving, it's like another mother. If you're not really loving, even though you have the title aunt, you're maybe not really living it. But I think the challenge that I see is that we have become very external in our culture. And actually, it's really painfully affected the church. Because we look at Cosmo and we look at all these things like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. And then we bring that exterior kind of presence to church and we never go within us and say, you know, Lord, where are you moving within me to bring me to freedom and joy and hope? The Catechism says, and I was just giving a talk the other night, I'm just going to quote it because it's so great. God made you in his image and likeness, and he established you in his friendship. Friendship, right, is only when we submit to God. The priest that doesn't want to accept this assignment just because he doesn't want to go there is really not in total submission to God. And so we live in this temptation. It says, you and I, tempted by the devil, let our trust in the Creator die in our hearts. We let trust in God die. And therefore we abuse freedom. And we disobey the Lord. Remember, if you prefer yourself over God, which is basically what you're doing, you're preferring sin over healing, then you block that aspect of healing that God can use through you. Okay? So the seven capital sins, right? Pride, anger, jealousy, gluttony, lust, sloth, and envy. If one of those areas is not healed, let's just generically say that, then you cannot be a channel of healing for another person. Impossible. All right? In that area of your life. So if you're a person who has a lot of attachment issues, control issues, and then we see in our children they get married and then, I don't know, they're just kind of controlling the situation, don't be surprised. How are you going to speak to them? They're not going to take your word for anything. They're just going to dismiss it. Come on, Mom. You're always in control. How would you know? The call to conversion, which is what a retreat is about, is to hear the movement of the Holy Spirit within you. To bring that before the Lord in prayer and thus begin to address the most pressing issue, not that you want to address, because what you want to address may miss the mark. You want to address the broken tooth. The Holy Spirit wants to address the lump in your breast. And I've seen that when women begin to bring it up, it's actually not as terrifying as they once thought. Because by the time they bring it up, they're no longer the age in which that lie crept into their head or their heart or their body. So I was 10 years old and I was called X. And I live in X. That was a prophetic statement to me. Because after I heard that, I lived it. And so every time I want to address that, I think I'm back to 10 years old. You know, when I was a little kid, I got bit by a dog. I don't know. I was probably doing something to the dog, but I got bit by a dog, right? And that's not why I think animals are a pain in the neck, but anyway. So, like, when I was a little older, like, some dog came charging at me, like, and I had this, like, huge flashback of when that dog bit me, you know? I mean, I got in my Karate Kid stance, right, to chop it. But then, you know, like, I've seen the repercussions of that moment, right? The trauma or whatever. You know, I say to you the same thing, you know, like, I think when you're not willing to address the issues, whether it was last week and something major happened and you've begun to grow, God is not going to put you back in that situation at the same age and the same vulnerabilities as you had when it happened to you. Why would he send you back to just like let it happen again, except now it's 10 years later? That makes no sense. That's not charity. So what he does, he gives you the grace. But you have to rely on him so that it can actually heal. Okay? Not long ago, I was counseling a gal who had gone through domestic violence. I was saying to her, I was like, gosh, you know, how do you feel when your husband, this new, remarried and a nice guy, and it's like, how do you feel when your husband like yells? And she's like, yeah, I go back to that spot. I said, that needs to heal in you. The trauma of your eyes, your ears, your instincts, all of that needs to heal. Okay? Say you're on a date and someone really tried to go too far, too fast against your word, and you really fought them off, has that healed in you? Has that effectively healed in you? Okay? Because that can be a vital moment of conversion. Whatever. You see the examples. So what I'm driving at with you this weekend, number one, just sort of simply, is to help you realize that conversion of your conversion is actually ultimately rooted in your willingness to speak to the Lord about what He is speaking to your heart about. And you may think it's embarrassing, but let's say your teenage daughter comes up to you and says, "Mom, this is really weird, but this is happening with my body," right? I highly doubt you're going to be like, "What? Gross. Yuck." Like, I never knew that happened to women's bodies, right? Well, we do the same thing with, like, we do the same thing with God. We act like He's going to be surprised at something that's going on within our hearts. Meanwhile, you've already seen the telltale signs of your daughter's body, and you see the changes, and you're like, "Oh, I get it. I knew it was coming," right? You see, that's when you're beginning to really live the Christian life. All right? The call to conversion starts from within. You have to go within and address it. So some of you may have in your heart exactly what God wants you to say. Some of you, my sense is, don't think you can say it. You doubt that you can say what you need to say to God. But if you don't say it, then how is God ever going to help you heal through it? God is not a magician. He's a physician. And so when you bring it to Him, then He begins to address it. That's the grace. So things that address it and affect us. Let's say I'm a spouse, right? Kid, two kids. I'm not really comfortable with intimacy. Have you ever brought that to the Lord? Lord, I'm not comfortable with this. I don't like it. I don't like my spouse over me. I don't like this. Like, do you ever bring any of that? Like, are you ever that transparent with the Lord? Are you just like, "I can't talk to God about sex. He's going to think I'm weird." You ever ask for healing in that part of your life or whatever it may be? Maybe it's an impurity issue. And you're like, "Yeah, Lord, I don't really want to deal with this anymore. This person keeps coming back in my head and it's over and over and over and over. I don't like it." So what do you do with that? I mean, it's going to be one of the sins of the five senses, right? Hearing, touch, smell, taste, right? And that's what I see is the biggest fear that confronts you. So those are the things I want you to pray about. And if God says, you know, you're like, "Well, what about, you know, you're going through this, you're going through that." And all of a sudden God says, "Let's talk about that one." How are you going to react? How are you going to say, Right? But He gives you the medicine to heal. And I remember when I was a little kid, we grew up, and we used to have those St. Joseph's tablets. You know, those little medicine, they tasted like the orange thing, you know? They were like candy, right? You're like, yum. I got a headache. Can I have a few of those, Mom? Right? And Benadryl. I don't know. Mom always gave me Benadryl. I don't know. Now, in hindsight, I realize, right? She's like, Danny, you're running. You look really sick. Let me see. Oh, yeah, it's 9 o'clock. Have some Benadryl. And you're like, right? That's why there's addictions, right? You're like, let me just have some NyQuil. Just snort it, right? But I've seen so many times, you know, it's like, oh, I like that medicine, but I don't like the other medicine, the yucky medicine, right? When you have a tummy ache and your stomach's bothering you, Mom gives you that pink stuff called Malax, and you're like, yuck, chalk, Mom, yuck, you know? Meanwhile, it keeps you from running out both sides, but you got to give it, right? I see women, man, they only want the St. Joseph's one, and that's great, but they don't want the Malax, the one that really addresses the same problem. Medicine is not supposed to taste good. It's supposed to change you. Make sure you get that down in your head. If you don't like the taste of the medicine, that may be because it's trying to heal you. Okay? You don't like what is said in the homily or whatever, in spiritual direction or the confession. You have to ask yourself, why don't I like it? Did he say something that was not rooted in the faith? Okay, then you have a reason. If he said something that is rooted in the faith, but you don't like it, then you have to really examine your heart. Because then you're redefining faith and the teachings of the church. But that's what our culture has become, right? I don't like it, so I'm going to walk. Right? And that's all right. You know, I'll just close. I was speaking up in Joppa, Maryland on Saturday. At a retreat like this. I don't know a single person that when they sat down with the doctor and he told them that they have heart issues, they like slammed the door shut and left. They're like, this is ridiculous. You know? Or, you know, you go to the dentist, he's like, hey, you got a cavity. You're ridiculous. I'm out of here. You ever notice like when people don't like what the priest says? They slam the pew and walk out. I guess the scripture is much more rooted in truth than that doctor. And yet when people don't like what somebody says, they slam the pew and they leave. Or they don't talk to them anymore. Oh, I don't like my doctor that he told me I have a lump in my breast, but I'm not going to not talk to him. I don't like the priest that he told me you're living a sinful life, so I'm not going to talk to him anymore. What's happening? This is what happens in our culture. You can die with a lump in your breast, but you can't die with lumps in your soul. And when the priest tells you that, you don't like it. And yet he's trying to win your soul for salvation. That's the challenge that you have to face on the retreat. The person who tells you the truth is the person who loves you beyond his friendship. And so, yeah, there's ways they can say it. They can cover it with molasses or cover it with sugar, or they can just say, well, you want the truth? Okay. This is the deal. Okay. I was talking to somebody recently. He's like, yeah, it's the worst bedside manner. And I thought, well, what? I wonder if that's applicable to me. Like, do I have the worst confessional manner? You know? Because then you say, you know, let's talk about that. Well, what do you want to talk about, Father? I just told you. Well, all of a sudden, there's like defenses go up, and I'm like, what is going on? That's a sign that there's some spiritual battle that just took place in helping me address a problem in your life. Meanwhile, it's like, I got it figured out. Meanwhile, okay, what's the fruit of that figured out? Are you isolated? Yeah. Are you talking to your kids? Not really. Are you doing your chores? Not really. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so you got to figure it out, huh, honey? Is that it? That's what you call figured out? See, the struggle, I think, is that we don't want to heal from the inside out. You want to be healed from the outside in. I got news. I can't do that. Neither will the Holy Spirit. You're healed from the inside out. God said, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. How are we going to heal if we don't address the problems? I think the challenge for you ladies is to take time and to say, you know, Lord, what are you speaking to me? People are going through midlife spiritual crises because they don't know who they are. Because they just went to church and they never addressed the problem. And then all of a sudden, as their kid starts to get to the age where they had struggles, they don't go to church anymore because they don't want to deal with it. I said to somebody, not my priest, I said, you know, you had a problem when you were in high school, right? Now your kids are in high school, right? How come you don't go to church anymore? You want to know why? Because they didn't want to deal with the problem. She never healed from the problem. And guess what she's doing? She's just exposing her kid to the very same thing that happened to her. I said, you're not going to come to church. I said, you can say what you want. You can blame me. I said, you're blaming yourself because you know in your heart that I tried to help you heal. And now your kid is at that age where they're going to struggle. And you have done nothing to protect that child. And guess what, honey? That's on your tab when you stand before God. That's on your tab. There's no other denying. If you went through some struggle and you never addressed it, and then your kid goes through that struggle, that's on your tab. Because God gave you the chance to heal, to grow. And it's so interesting, you know, like, because I was wild before I became a priest, right? So I preach the truth, right, about purity and all that stuff. And it's so interesting to note, like, people come up and say, oh, the reason why he challenges so much is because he was so wild. Okay, so I was on that life, and I know the repercussions and the pain and the suffering, and I come back and I witness to it and the call to conversion. Now, if I had never done anything and I had just gone through high school, seminary, college, seminary, what would you have said? Well, I wish he had lived a life so at least he could identify with us. So when I do live the life and I bring it out to you, people are in total denial because they don't want to digest the truth. That's what God is telling you. So if God is speaking to your heart and trying to help you address something, I ask you, don't live in denial. Because it will be the next generation of your children in the same suffering. It will be the same generation. And you don't have to have kids to see this. You're going to have spiritual daughters, spiritual sons. And that's what our culture is facing. All right? So you've got a chance to go within your heart to examine what God is speaking to you. Right? And if you go there, you will begin to have a lot of courage. It is not in the heart of a woman to live in sadness. Write that down. Because if you're living in sadness, then there's something wrong. It is not in the heart of a woman. There is something that you need to address. I know there's changes and all that jazz in your body, and there's kids go off to college and all that. I get it. But to live in sadness is not in the way that God has created your heart. But when you let stuff overwhelm you and not bring it to God and not address the things within you, that is the doorway and the windows in which you find sadness. You are to go into the world and overcome the world. That is what God said to you. By your baptism and by Scripture, go into the world. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. And when those sadness and all that other stuff begins to creep in, ask yourself, how much of you is involved in that equation? How much of you is involved? Have I addressed something? Am I just feeling sad for myself? Am I doing God's will? Is he saying something to me that I just don't want to overcome and address, that he's giving me the grace to address? And so the false voice comes back. Rejection, isolation, you're not wanted. And the same voice over and over and over and over again happens in the life and the heart of a woman. But that's not what God created you to be. He created you to be the heart in the home. The heart, not a sad heart, a courageous heart, a vibrant heart, a life-giving heart, a heart that is willing to lay down its life for somebody. But if you're saying, well, it's not happening with my spouse, or it didn't happen with my dad, or it didn't happen with, who cares? I didn't ask you if it happened there. I'm asking you, are you addressing it so that you can give hope to the next generation? If not, they will pass down the next generation of broken and sad people. And we will build them, especially in our culture, dependent. Right? Shopping dependent, quick fix dependent. I know you don't believe it, sex dependent. Because they're going to be immediate gratification, right? And you know, when you get tired of the Starbucks, you want something bigger, you want the sex. It's all that immediate gratification. Unless we have the courage to address it. So I think you have some things to pray about, to chew on, huh? And we're going to be back here at what time? 7:00. Okay, so that's 7 o'clock, not 7:05. Okay? So if you're one of those ones that says, I got to come in late because I'm on my own timeline, I'm just going to tell you once, not now. You can do that at home. Part of the way you go on a retreat is you overcome yourself and stop showing up when you want. Okay? The success of a retreat is not you just deciding, I got to go to the bathroom now. All right? Listen, you knew this when you came. The reason why, it's that subtle control. You will see how much you have to fight yourself in even the smallest thing. And then you're like, I'm free. You're not free, honey. You're enslaved. Because you can't be free. That's why the same families are late to church all the time. They're always late. You want to know why? Because they get caught in the noonday devil. Oh, I better do this. I better do that. They don't have any sense of come early and just prepare your heart. They're always late. They don't care. They just climb over the people that are always trying to listen. They just show up. I see it all the time. Lectors, choir, they just show up. It's like, hey, sit on the sidelines for a little bit. If you can't come 5 minutes earlier, we'll be all right without you. They don't like it, man. Well, I'm on the schedule. Not anymore. I told you 10 of. Because people don't like it. Same folks in control, and they've never healed. And they don't see it as rooted in control. But it is totally rooted in control issues. Absolutely. Because something's not healed in them. Believe me, you think I'm crazy? You pray about it, and you will see exactly what I'm driving at. You will see exactly what I'm driving at. Those of you that have overcome it, because they've never addressed it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, pour your grace upon us and give us wisdom and insight and the grace to listen to you. Inspire us to have silence in our hearts and to address the struggles. We pray together, bless us, O Lord. And these are gifts which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.